Well, we spoke to Senator Bill Dodd about the wildfire preparedness bill that passed both houses at the end, the tail end of last week. And, of course, we are very vested in that whole issue. But what does it mean and what are the long-term ramifications of it? Michael Wara is here. He is a lawyer and a Stanford scholar. He's focused on climate and energy policy. Michael, happy you're here with us.
Happy to join. Thanks for having me on.
Your overall impression of the preparedness bill as it stands?
Well, I think it's a solid down payment on the kinds of things that the state is going to need to do to really increase safety for folks that live in the higher risk areas.
And by that,
but
do you mean
definitely
the...
not done?
You know, yeah, yeah. Everybody seems to agree on that point, Michael, that we're not done. But by down payment, do you mean the literal dollars that have been set aside for forest management?
That's a part of it, yeah. I mean, sort of, I think if the bill is having two main parts, one is a real commitment to spending and also easing some sort of burdens and limitations that have been placed on forest management, vegetation management. And that's important. I think the spending could also be very important in terms of helping local communities to do more within the communities to increase safety, to fully fund kind of fire safe communities type approaches, which are, you know, almost more important than doing, you know, controlled burns in very low population areas.
Yeah. And as that's important. Of course, are in the rebuilding process here in Sonoma County after the October fires, all very important issues and how those houses are built and obviously where they're built, all a big concern.
Yes. Yes. And I think, you know, what the 5 years of money will do is to create the ability to sort of do some long-term planning and sort of community-wide planning that otherwise, you know, it's hard to do when you're sort of living, you know, hand to mouth year to year. You're not sure if there's going to be money next year to keep doing a process. And so I think that's really good. The other big piece of the bill, of course, is the parts of the legislation that relate to electric utilities.
Yes.
And there... what I would characterize, you know, I think it's always a good sign when a bill passes and kind of no one's happy. And I think that's a fair assessment of where things are with this utility situation. The folks that advocate for customers are pretty unhappy with the bill. They think it's too much of a giveaway to PG&E. The electric utilities are pretty unhappy with the bill. They think that it doesn't give them enough stability and certainty. So that they can keep their cost of capital low. And so it's what I would say, sort of as a kind of somewhat neutral observer, is that it it strikes a balance. And that's probably where we should be. We want the utilities to be frightened, right? We want them to be doing everything they can to keep us safe. But we also don't want to put them in a situation where it's so expensive for them to do business that they either do less business, right? They invest less, or their financial costs get passed through to us and the costs of our electric bills.
And I think for us, Michael, for a lot of us, you know, who are right in the thick of this thing, sort of our knee-jerk reaction to parts of this bill was, well, so what? If they can't afford to do business, then get out of business and then somebody new will come in and do it. And it's not quite that simple, is it?
It's not quite that. I mean, you know, ideally, right, or in a if this were a normal kind of product, it would be that simple, right? If this was a choice of which supermarket to shop at.
Yeah.
But we actually only have one electricity grid. And the mistakes that were made by PG&E leading up to the fires and in Southern California maybe as well are things that need to be fixed no matter who runs the grid. And so we need to create a safer system. And the utilities need to be accountable for doing that. But if we make the cost of doing business for them high because we can't go to an alternative supplier, we're going to end up paying that cost. And so it's a tricky balance. You know, you need to create that incentive to do better, but you don't want to end up, you know, penalizing the customer more or as much as you penalize the utility. when you create that incentive.
Yeah, that would be a real uproar were that to have shaken down. And it seems likely that the governor will sign this into law. And hopefully in terms of the amount of money or that money is set aside each and every year for forest management, hopefully that will become a matter of course in budgets in the future.
Well, this is going to set a precedent and it's going to create a set of stakeholders around the state that are using that money to do good things and to keep communities safe. And I imagine that those people are going to be back in Sacramento in 3 or 4 years to make sure that that funding stream continues. And that's a good thing. We really need to be doing that. I live in Marin County, just south of you. And I'll tell you, down here, we need to be doing a lot more of it. We are in the same situation that Sonoma and Napa were in prior to the fires.
Absolutely. And, you know, what we say, you know, and of course, as we approach the year anniversary of the October fires, and I know that KSRO is going to be spending a lot of time on preparedness because shame on us if we, went through that. And same thing for Marin. Shame on you if you watched that happen so close to home and didn't take the necessary steps to make sure that your environment is as fire safe as possible, then that's on us moving forward.
I couldn't agree more. I think that the really good parts of this bill are that they put, you know, the communities in California that are at risk, they provide us with resources to do the things that we want to do at this point, you know, but have struggled to pay for, and provide resources to first responders that are really important and are going to help keep them safe. I mean, the other thing about creating this kind of defensible space, this year we've seen a lot of firefighters getting killed in fires.
Oh, it's been ridiculous.
Yeah. Creating these kinds of fire-safe communities helps keep them safe too. And I think that's another really important benefit of the investment that the state will be making over the next few years.
Is there a time period, Michael, where we ought to mark and say, let's take a look at the ramifications of this bill in a year, in 2 years, to take a look at how both parts of this, the energy policy and the climate factors, are working?
Well, I think that we don't actually have that much time, unfortunately. The key piece of the equation that has not been addressed, and that I know many of your listeners are probably encountering and dealing with and navigating right now, is insurance.
Oh, yeah.
And homeowners insurance is really not addressed in the bill. But, of course, access to affordable insurance is becoming an increasingly challenging question for many people, especially people that are in, you know, trying to rebuild or live near fires that have occurred recently. And my guess is that that is going to become a much bigger problem over the next several years. It could get much worse also if the markets, the stock markets, are not as good as they've been, because the insurers right now are making a lot of their money in the stock market and not really from premiums. And so that's a piece, I think, that's actually in the bill, in the sense that there's a blue ribbon commission that is formed to consider better ways of dealing with the risk of wildfires for all of California, not just the financial aspects with the utilities, but kind of how as a state can we manage this risk better? And by better, I mean make the risk smaller and also make it more affordable for Californians. And I think that problem is one that's going to be taken up sooner rather than later, at least by this commission and then hopefully by the legislature.
Yeah, it's going to have to be. It's not going to be a question of us insured consumers saying to the insurance companies, hey, fix this, would you? Because we'd really like to have a better standing policy. It's not going to work that way. So it's going to have to work another way.
That's right. And insurance is a highly regulated area in the state
as well.
So even if the insurers had ideas, you know, doesn't mean they can do them.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean they should. Right. I mean, there's a reason that there's a heavy regulatory kind of overlay on the insurance market.
Yeah, but one thing we found, Michael, that I could have lived my whole life without knowing is the amazing power that the insurance lobbyists have in our golden state here. Yeah. Disheartening in some ways.
Yes. I think it's right. So that's going to be an ongoing challenge. And I think there are aspects of this bill, though, that we're going to have to wait and see on, you know, and and other, there's a number of other bills related to fire and especially utility safety and fire that are going to take a few years to play out to be implemented fully. There's a bunch of wildfire planning that the utilities are going to be doing and implementing, or already implementing some new practices.
Yes.
Some of which are controversial, but, you know, like the de-energizing of lines during wind events. But, you know, we're going to have to see how well those work. If there are ways to mitigate some of the impacts of a de-energizing a circuit in the distribution system during one of these wind events. And I'm sure that the utilities and the CPUC are going to be looking closely at that. That's an approach that's worked well in San Diego's service territory, San Diego Gas and Electric service territory, but isn't really tried in Northern California. And obviously, there's a lot more trees up here than in San Diego.
So yes.
It's a different environment.
Well, we're going to have to watch and see, and I know we'll be watching it closely as we move along. Michael, thanks for shedding some light on all of this. I sure appreciate it.
My pleasure.
That
have a great day. Thanks for
having Michael Wara, lawyer and Stanford scholar, talking about climate and energy policy in the just passed wildfire preparedness bill. More to come on that for sure.